Hi, listeners. It's Chris and Michelle from Mankin Holes.
Hello.
And Christina's asked us to tell you all about a meal that we cooked for some friends of ours who are called Liz and Jim. So what we're going to do is just spend the next quarter of an hour or so describing, well, telling you our story, really, as to what we did and why we did it and the journey we went on. So, Chris, why did we cook the meal?
Well, it was Jim and Liz's 50th wedding anniversary, and if there wasn't a global pandemic, they would, of course, been celebrating that, perhaps with a party, perhaps with their family, with their many friends. But, of course, with the restrictions that were in force in October, they couldn't go out anywhere, and they couldn't have anyone in their house. So the prospect of celebrating their wedding anniversary was looking pretty gloomy, really. So that's when Michelle and I came up with the idea of cooking for them. And as we only live a short distance away, very easily walkable, we would bring the hot food to their enclosed porch and ring on the doorbell, and it would be effectively a COVID-safe, contact-free takeaway delivery.
Brilliant. It seems ages ago now that we did this meal. And I think one of the things I remember is feeling very sorry for Liz and Jim, because they'd planned such a special event for their day. They'd had a really good holiday the year before, and it was just something we could do to help. And it was fun, really, wasn't it? So, just thinking about the meal. So this was last October. I think my memory serves me correctly, we wanted to do something where we could source everything from Todmorden and the market particularly. Is that right?
Yes, we wanted to source everything locally. We asked them if they remembered anything about their wedding meal, wedding breakfast.
Yeah.
And they didn't really remember very much about it, except they did remember that they'd had salmon. So that was the only clue that we had, really. I suppose it's worth bearing in mind that Liz had been a professional caterer and Jim is an excellent cook. So we didn't take this task on lightly, because neither of us are professional caterers or cooks or chefs, although cooking is something that we really like doing. And we did want to make this as good and as special as we could do.
So in other words, it was really nerve-wracking.
It was very nerve-wracking.
Because our standards had to be upped somewhat. So you asked Liz and Jim what they could remember. So I think the starting point for the meal was the salmon. And where did you source the salmon?
Well, this was an exception, for obvious reasons, to the local sourcing rule. We got it from a smokehouse in Ullapool in northwest Scotland, which we know very well. Not this particular smokehouse, actually, although we know where it is. And we bought 450 grams of whiskey smoked salmon, which was delivered about probably 36 hours after I ordered it. Really excellent service. I'm personally a vegetarian, so I can't tell you what it tasted like, but
it was gorgeous.
Everyone who did try it said it was, as Michelle says, gorgeous.
We've just been joined by our tabby cat, Jemima. So if you hear purring, that's what the noise is in the background, as opposed to my lovely husband, Chris, purring. And he's trying not to laugh. Anyway, so we were talking about the starter, and Chris, you were talking about having sourced the salmon from Scotland. So I'd showed off that we'd bought all the produce from Todmorden and completely forgot about the salmon. Anyway, what was the starter called?
Well, we called it Ullapool Smokehouse Malt Whiskey Smoked Salmon, Oat Cakes, Dill and Mustard Mayonnaise. And it is, as I'm sure anybody who's familiar with Scotland will tell you, it is a traditional Scottish dish, not necessarily a starter, but certainly can be used as a starter.
How did you make the mayonnaise?
I tried making my own mayonnaise, but I have always been unsuccessful at making mayonnaise. I don't know why. I've watched people make it, and it's a miracle of transformation of oil and an egg. But when I try it, it's always been a failure, and it was this time. So I resorted to some commercial mayonnaise, to which I added some whole grain mustard and some fresh dill.
So that was the starter. So let's just think about the main course. What prompted the choice of the main course?
Well, it was a historical thing, really. The old alliance between Scotland and France gave us the clue, really. So the old alliance perhaps was most visible during the 1745 Jacobite Rebellion, when Prince Charles Edward Stuart, Bonnie Prince Charlie, hoped for and to some extent received support from the French king for his endeavours. And so the idea of following a Scottish starter with a French main course had its roots in the old alliance. So we chose a dish from a very nice book called Celtic Cuisine by Gilly Davis, which has food from Wales, Ireland, Scotland and Brittany. And it was called Poulet Cocotte à la mode de Pontchâteau, which translates perhaps not very helpfully as chicken in the Pontchâteau mode. And that was, it was effectively a rich casserole. And the sauce had got some cream in it, but it had also got bacon and sausage, as well as vegetables and some flageolet beans. So it had the benefit of being a meal in one pot, which meant it was easy to carry. But it was also quite a rich dish that was appropriate for a celebration. And we served it with crushed new potatoes.
And any veg?
No, all the vegetables were in the casserole. So we put a small garnish on it, but it didn't require any separate vegetables.
And how long did it take to cook? So we've got an arga. Did we put it in the arga in the afternoon?
Yes, we tried to cook it as slowly as possible so that the chicken would be both as flavoursome as possible, but also as moist and tender as possible.
So then we came to the dessert, and this was my job. What a wonder. So we've got one of the complete Arga cookbooks by Mary Berry, Dame Mary Berry and Lucy Young. And they've got this gorgeous recipe called double chocolate pudding with creme fraiche. I've never made double chocolate pudding before. I thought I'd got two very nice big ramekin dishes, and I thought I would have a practice. So I made the recipe and realised there was quite a lot of mixture and involved making the chocolate pudding, putting it into the ramekin or souffle dishes, and then putting chocolate squares in the middle, piled high. Anyway, I made them to practice and they overflowed on the tray. It went everywhere in the oven. I took it to some friends of ours in the village, Carol and Ange, who are brilliant cooks as well. I've just bought my new car, a little Mini Cooper. So I gingerly took my starter for tens in my new car, only to pass Liz and Jim on the bridle way. And I had to keep them talking so they didn't look on the seat to see their practice suite. So the mixture tasted beautiful, but they collapsed. Carol and Angie reported back that it tasted good, and they lent me their souffle dishes, which were much bigger. I think they were about 11 centimetres in diameter, something like that.
Mm.
So I made the puddings the following day, and that was a success, I think.
Yes, the double chocolate comes from the batter mix has got cocoa powder in it, and then plain chocolate, good quality plain chocolate, is some broken pieces put in the centre of the batter before the dishes go into the oven. So that's where the double chocolate comes from. But it was a good example. I tend to cook things cold, as it were. I look at a recipe in a recipe book and cook it. In the days when we were allowed to have dinner parties, I would do new things like that. But Michelle took a different approach and had a trial run, and it really showed that was a good idea, because she was able to adjust the way she was making the batter and obviously, as she said, the ramekins that she was using, and the end result was a really good product.
So on the top of the pudding we also put some icing sugar, and then we took, oh, that's right, we bought a bottle of Bollinger. So they had a bottle of Bollinger at the start of the meal.
That's right, yes, a bottle of non-vintage Bollinger. We produced a proper menu card with a photo of a wedding, which I used as a watermark, so it was faint but visible. And when we took round the pudding, the final course, we also took round two glasses of port, which we thought would go quite well with the double chocolate pudding.
And I think what they did, they also got dressed up for the occasion. So when we went round and put everything in the porch, as we were leaving, we noticed it got dressed up, which was lovely.
And
very nice.
They told us later that, as well as really, really enjoying the food, they had been listening to the music that they'd had at their wedding reception. So it was a special event, and as special as the four of us could make it, given the conditions of the pandemic.
And I think we really enjoyed it, didn't
we? And we really enjoyed it, yes.
Yeah. So, listeners, I hope you found that interesting. We're very happy to tell you another story another time. I'm not quite sure what we'll tell you the story about, but we hope you have a lovely day and you enjoy our story. Thank you very much.
Bye for now.
Bye.